If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Modest Pozelas posts a cryptic message in regards to Josh Giddey, his potential re-signing with the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bulls NBA Cup schedule. And lastly, would too early success in this new direction, in this new process that the Bulls are on, actually cause AK and Acme to go back to their prior bad behaviors? We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And we're going to start off with this message from Modest Pozelas. He posted this on his secondary Instagram account, which I guess like everybody has. This is his more personal Instagram account. Now, it's not verified, so there's no way of guaranteeing that it's him. But then when you look at the fact that it follows most of his teammates, the fact that way more personal type content is posted there than what's on his regular Instagram, this is probably Modest Pozelas. Now, this for those that are on the YouTube side of things, I'm putting the message, the post up on the screen so people can see what he posted here. And, you know, the thing that I hate, I've said this a lot recently, one of the things that I hate is that so much now kind of sports analyst and news and stuff does come from player social media, because you got to like, now you got to follow everything. Now I got to follow Modest Pozelas, not only his regular account, but his secondary account, just in case any information comes out about it or you post something there that's worth reposting to the channel or to the page or anything like that. But hey, that just comes with the territory. It is what it is. But you know, we have not heard very much on Josh Giddey's contract extension at all lately, right? It's been fairly quiet. The last that we did heard is the stuff from Jake Fisher, in which he did say later in August you can expect the deal to get done. We're now about midway through August, the deal's still not done. So maybe over the next couple of days or so, or maybe this is a sign that Modest Pozelas kind of knows something's going on behind the scenes. I'm sure he stays in touch with his teammates. But this is just kind of more things to just state how in tune and in touch Modest not only is with the state of the team and the fan base, but he knew exactly what he was doing by posting this. And, you know, hats off to Modest. I mean, if it happens, it happens. Great. If not, it is what it is when it comes down to that, too. No harm, no foul when it comes to it. Like, we'll see what happens with Josh Giddey. There's been no change on it right now. Everything's still quiet on the Josh Giddey front. And, you know, while, you know, I've talked about it and said that we've basically covered every single permutation, every single possibility, every single angle that could possibly be done with this Josh Giddey and re-signing madness, and we're still at the same place that we've been. There's been no real change in any of it. So I don't expect it to happen anytime soon, but you guys know if Josh Giddey does get re-signed, or when Josh Giddey does get re-signed, we'll have an episode out shortly thereafter. It just is what it is. So, and we'll be breaking down the contract. And at this point, that's really all I can say on that is we'll break down the contract when it happens, and we'll see which side end up giving up the most, right? All right, but moving on from that, the Chicago Bulls did release their NBA Cup schedule, the group schedule dates for that, and it's fairly decent. We already knew the opponents. The schedule itself is decent enough. The full schedule for the NBA is being released today, later on today, I think. So we'll probably have a live stream at the end of the day once that's announced, to just go over the schedule, the takeaways from the Chicago Bulls schedule, how difficult it is, the back-to-backs, things like that. We'll cover all that as we do every single year. But for what it's worth, the NBA Cup schedule starts very early into the season. October 31st, Halloween, the Chicago Bulls take on the New York Knicks in Chicago at 7 p.m. Central Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time. November 7th against the Milwaukee Bucks. That's in Milwaukee for that one. That's going to be an interesting game. You know, the Milwaukee used to be years ago, like this was before Giannis, right? Is that going to Milwaukee was almost like an extended home game for the Chicago Bulls. My lapsed Bulls fans will remember this, right? It used to be an extended game because Milwaukee's fan base wasn't huge. You know, not to say that their arena wasn't decent, but like Bulls fans would make that short travel to Milwaukee to support their team. And there were times, like I said, a decade plus ago where there would be more Bulls fans in the Milwaukee Bucks stadium than the Chicago, than Bucks fans when the Bulls took on the Bucks. Now that has changed because the direction of that franchise has changed. They got an all-time great in Giannis Antetokounmpo and things definitely changed at that point in time. But, you know, so for what it's worth, the Bulls take on the Bucks in Milwaukee at 7 p.m. Central Time. And then we take on Miami at home in Chicago on November 21st, 2 weeks after the Milwaukee Bucks game. And then we finish our NBA Cup group play November 28th against the Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte. For what that's worth, that's a team we always play tough and close as well. That one goes down 6:30 p.m. Central Time, 7:30 Eastern Time. And this is a decent NBA Cup schedule. I don't look at this and it's not as difficult as some of the other ones that we've had. I'm really excited about a lot of these matchups. Of course, the New York Knicks are going to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference as far as win-loss schedule for sure. The Milwaukee Bucks, depending on how you look at their acquisition of Miles Turner, I mean, they made other acquisitions, of course, other than that. But like the Milwaukee Bucks they're decent. I'm not going to say they're great. They're decent. And, you know, we'll see how that and the Bulls play off against that. Miami is another team. Yeah, they got Norman Powell, but not a lot outside of that as far as changes to their roster. This has been one of the seasons where Pat Riley has kind of been accused of being asleep at the wheel, not really doing much for their Miami Heat team. And then the Charlotte Hornets. Like I said, we always play the Hornets close. This is one of the years where the Bulls have the best opportunity, really, to come out of that NBA Cup and maybe go into the next stage of play, the knockout round. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that. You know, the Bulls, you know, points matter. Point differential is a lot more than if you win or lose the game. There's a lot that goes into the NBA Cup and moving into the next stage of it. But, you know, we'll see what happens there with the Bulls. I think overall, like the NBA Cup thing, it's been better than I was expected. When the NBA Cup was initially announced, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I looked at this and saying, this is just a way for the NBA to get more games. It wasn't. The games are part of the 82. Well, unless you go into the knockout round, then right, it's not part of your 82. The teams that don't go into the knockout round, they get two games added back to their schedule. But, you know, still, it's not like it's much more. And the NBA Cup play, especially last year, was surprisingly good and competitive. These teams have taken it really seriously for the most part, especially with the point differential mattering. You see the teams try to keep that the gap on those or blow it out. Like we saw Joe Mazzulla and Billy Donovan have a little conversation on the sideline when we played the Celtics before an NBA Cup game where, you know, Billy Donovan was like, hey, what are we doing here? And, you know, Joe Mazzulla was like, listen, the point differential, we gotta keep doing it. Yeah, we're blowing you out, but we gotta keep doing it for the point differential. So, you know, it's been more interesting than what I gave it credit for coming in. And this is why you never really pass judgment on something until you really see how it ends up working out, because NBA Cup games were some of the more exciting games that we watched last season, as far as not even just for the Bulls, I mean, just in the NBA overall. Those were some pretty fun games to watch. So we'll see if that continues for this team and what they end up doing going forward. But overall, the Bulls now know their NBA Cup schedule. The full schedule will be out sooner rather than later. I can't wait for that because, you know, that gives us something to break down and start looking more forward to actual basketball being played than worrying about a contract of Josh Giddey, which the fan base, the Bulls Civil War, the fan base over this, man, it's been really fun to see. I'm not going to lie to you guys. As an agent of chaos, as I am so often, it's been just really fun to see how this is shaking out for the conversation. But nonetheless, man, we'll see what happens when it comes to that one. But overall, man, we'll see what happens. If the Bulls do miss out on round two again, as we have the last couple of years, we'll get a couple of games added back to our schedule. And it is what it is. We have not yet appeared in the knockout round at all. We just haven't, right? There's two wild card teams that go into the knockout. So even if the Bulls don't win their group, they have an opportunity to move into that knockout round. But it's neither here nor there, really, if we're being 100% honest with it. And we'll just see how things start shaking out. But you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. But I want to get into the next topic for today, right? This is kind of more so the main topic on today's episode. And it stemmed from a conversation in the Discord, right? And it was a fair one. And it's that, you know, the Bulls changed the direction. And while I think a lot of Bulls fans have not updated their talking points or their mindset since the Bulls have changed direction. And maybe because that change of direction did not come with the total blow up of the roster right now. It has over time. When you look at losing Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Andre Drummond, like a lot of the players that were here and part of the core of what we were doing with the prior build of this roster are gone. But because it didn't come with a tank or a big blowout where we're trading everybody in the same offseason, stacking assets, that I think a lot of Bulls fans fell sometimes to realize that this Bulls team did change direction. Now, that doesn't mean that this direction is going to lead ultimately to where it wants to go either, but they have changed the direction. Now, the reason why I say that and I get into this, because one of the things that I asked, and I've talked a lot about this offseason, is the fact that I do think this Bulls team has gotten better. I think that based off what we had and what we were lacking last season, this team has gotten better than what it finished last season on. Adding Ayo Dosunmu, getting Isaac Okoro in here, to replace Lonzo, who just didn't play a lot, right? Getting Noah Essengay, we'll see how much he ends up playing, but theoretically brings up rim protection. And
if you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Another player that fits our style of play, for sure, right? Miles Muzelis is probably going to take a step. Going to see what Kobe White and Josh Giddey look like after a year of really spending that whole, most of that season figuring out their chemistry. Now, can they build off on that to start a season? But the question that I have here is, while I'm somebody that I do think the Bulls can flirt near 500 this season, would too early of a success for this team, and even then, success, right? Like success. Would it kind of put AK back where he was before? And the reason why I ask this is that most Bulls fans will remember that this team, they put this team together, the last version of the team together, trading for Nikola Vucevic the season prior, in one offseason bringing in Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, right? And that team made the playoffs. And then we saw at that team, AK then focused on continuity. We didn't really make a lot of moves to make that version of the team better. Yes, Lonzo went down with injury. We did bring in Andre Drummond, who I do think helps with that. We didn't have a lot of first-round picks. Would this team then thus go back to what they were doing before, which was problematic, and double down on the roster? Like, for example, if the Bulls do win 40 to 41 games, like I think that they can, and somehow get out the play-in, would AK still be focused as he needs to on making the changes that are needed to this roster and continually evolving the roster? Or would AK then go into, especially with everybody most of this roster being unrestricted free agents at the end of the year and going in restricted free agency, would then AK look at this and say, oh my God, we got to keep these guys together. We got to keep these guys together, right? And that is a legitimate concern that I think Bulls fans have to have in this, because that's what AK has shown before. Now, one could say it's a little bit of a difference between that version of the team and this version. That version had given up so many first-round picks to build that version of the team. Of course, they were going to double down on it, right? Of course, they were going to re-sign Nikola Vucevic. Of course, they were going to do these things because the assets that they gave up to bring those players in and the fact that they hadn't yet been in a place to recoup those assets, then they're going to try to keep those players around. And I can't knock anybody if they feel that way. But when you look at this roster and you see Nikola Vucevic, is unrestricted free agent, Zach Collins, unrestricted free agency, Kevin Herter, Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, Javon Carter, hey, listen, if y'all want to see me crash out, see the Bull. If the Bulls re-sign Javon Carter, the crash out that you're going to see is going to be of epic proportions. Don't worry about how I've roasted people in live streams. The crash out is going to be legitimate because that would be stupid. But nonetheless, right, will we see AK once again fall into the trap of falling in love with a version of a roster before and not realizing that there's a lot that still needs to be done before you're truly competitive in the Eastern Conference, even if you do somehow luck up and move up to a 6th seed or a 7th seed or something like that, or get to a 500 season? And that's a legitimate concern here. We've seen too much of this front office double down and keep things the same. And I do think that, though, there is a difference. That version of the team gave up so many first-round picks. This version of the team still has a ton of first-round picks. That team, as well, didn't have promising young players outside of Patrick Williams at that point, who the luster on that wore off really early. This team does have Noah Essengay. It does have Modest Muzelis, right? It does have Josh Giddey as it stands right now. They do have those more young, promising players, whereas that team before didn't have that. It was Patrick Williams, and it was a bunch of near 30 or 30-year-olds. That's basically what it was. And Alex Caruso, right? Ayo Dosunmu, too. I guess Ayo Dosunmu as a promising player, but then again, they played with his role up and down that whole entire time, as well as Kobe White's. Would that be what this team ends up doing? And that's a legitimate question here. I would like to think, based off what we've seen so far and the fact that the Bulls have seemed committed, and I say seem because it's been a very small sample size, but they have seemed committed so far to a couple of things. One, the style of play, much more conducive to a younger roster, much more conducive to the modern NBA style, much more conducive to winning basketball. They have adapted that new style. And there has been a focus on younger players. Instead of the Nikola Vucevic's and the DeMar DeRozan, even though Vuce is still on the team has shifted the focus to the Kobe White's, to the Josh Giddey's, to the Modest Muzelis's, right? And so it seems like that vision has changed as far as now you're focused more on your younger players. Thank God. Welcome to the party. Thank you for getting here. You're a little bit late to the show, but you have done that now. So I don't know if the early success would make them say we got to keep these older veterans around, or if the Bulls do luck into a 500 season, if it's like, okay, let's keep building this thing around the skill sets of these core guys. Let's bring in players that fit that. Now, some of these guys may. Kevin Herter could continue to fit what the Bulls need as a connective passer, a player, and a shooter. Kevin Herter could stick around. Zach Collins, especially if the Bulls do let Vooch walk and they know that they're going to draft a center or bring in a young center, having Zach Collins there as the in-between, it makes some sense, right? So I'm not here to say that you just let all these guys go and that shows that you're committed to the younger roster. No, it's how the fit is there. And the problem always with the Bulls was it's like Acme did not realize that Nikola Vucevic, DeMar DeRozan, and Zach LaVine weren't the most seamless fit. Yes, they all could put up numbers. We saw that. We saw seasons of them all putting up decent enough numbers. But then when you get into the plus minus of them on the court, when you got into the style and how DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic is the minutes together ate into their style of play, right? When you got into those type of minutiae things, you started realizing what did and did not fit. So I hope that that's the priority here that the Bulls are looking for. And while, you know, AK preaches or asks for patience and looks at the state of the roster into the 2026 season and the fact that we have a pretty clear, one of the best the Bulls have. I want to be clear here. And I don't think people really quite realize this, especially with how much talk has been around Josh getting his contract. I don't think people realize that the Bulls have one of the best cap sheets as it stands right now in the NBA. They're projected to have one of the best cap sheets, even if they do re-sign Josh Giddey, even if they do re-sign Kobe White, even if they also re-sign Io Desumo. If they bring all three of those players back, the Bulls are still shaped up to have pretty tremendous cap flexibility considering the size of those contracts that are that those players are going to have. Now, as Noah and Modest get closer and closer to their contract extensions, you have to ask yourself, what is that going to look like, right? But the Bulls have one of the best and one of the most clean cap sheets you will find in basketball right now. And that's not something we've always been able to say with the Bulls. The Bulls have always been that team that has that Carlos Boozer contract being there, right? Jabari Parker contract being there, right? Like we've always had some type of contract situation going on. Cristiano Felicio's contract, right? Whereas right now, the Bulls sit in a pretty decent place. Now, yes, we still have, I guess we could say we have the Patrick Williams contract situation, but the Bulls, that is even a more of an example of how good the Bulls cap outlook is because that $19 million from Patrick Williams isn't stopping anything as it stands right now. It's not stopping anything. And if the Bulls get to a place where they want to move Patrick Williams and they don't care what they get back, like it's basically, we're just trying to dump him off, we'll include a couple of seconds. The Patrick Williams has the size of the contract that's more easy to do. You would have to incentivize as things stand right now, the team that's taking him on, which is why I don't think the Bulls should be looking to move Patrick Williams really until they absolutely need to. And I don't think it's likely that they move him just because at this point, you'd have to give up something to move off from Patrick Williams. So it's a question there. And I think overall, when you're looking at this, when we talk about, you know, things like it was fun episode I had yesterday in regards to what do Kobe, Giddey, and Modest need to do to be all-stars. Very just fun topic, meathead topic to talk about our team. That's really what that was. Had fun doing that. We talk about the things like could the Bulls, punch above their weight, those type of things. But overall, like the front office, and we talk about them potentially learning the right lesson at the wrong time with Josh Giddey, or using it on the wrong player in Josh Giddey, right? And the thing that I just hope is that this team, if this team does, because you're always hoping that your team has more success than what initially thought on paper. If this team were to have that, I just don't want AK falling in love again and getting blinded and having his blinders on at that point, thinking that this team is closer than what they are just because they got to 500 or 40 wins or they won more games in the prior season. You can't do that. It has to be, if nothing else, AK has had to learn that you have to continually be ahead of the curve. You have to continually be looking at how you're going to adapt and evolve your roster to get to the point of wherever you really want to go and not get caught up in where you're at. Don't be so caught up in being happy at where you're at that you forget about your ultimate destination. And that's something that I think has happened a lot with AK over the last his first run in running the Bulls. We know we got him for four more seasons at least with the three-year extension. This year was already on that. Four more years of Arturas Karnisova. And we'll see what that looks like for the Chicago Bulls. We really shall see what that looks like for this team. And if this now kind of shifting the focus back to what you said your initial focus was, we'll see what happens there. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day.
Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.